Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump.
Hey.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Happy Wednesday.
We're halfway home, dog.
I know. We're halfway there. Damn. That's what happens when you have Monday Night Football.
Yeah, man. What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. We're halfway to the weekend. We're admiring, questioning the Woj bomb on himself.
Yeah, can you Woj bomb yourself?
I guess he did. What if somebody scooped him?
Shams would have got him on this one.
Oh, dude, Andy, I would have loved. But we're talking about Adrian Wojnarowski. He's retiring from ESPN and news. He's going to be the general manager at St. Bonaventure Basketball, which, all right.
Cool. Sounds like a nice first step into retirement.
Yeah, man. Did the media break him? Did it break him?
I don't know.
Did he get tired?
My guess would be 7 years at ESPN doing that job with the amount of money he was making doing that job.
Right.
And kind of look at that bank account. I don't know if he's got kids or whatever, but you look, it's like, you know what? Let's go back home. Let's go back home and enjoy this thing a little bit.
Right.
Because we got plenty. You know what I mean? Do I really feel like running around chasing down these stories anymore? Shams is on my heels all the damn time fighting off this guy. Nah, we're good.
Yeah.
To become that level of reporter, and you know, you associate breaking news in that league with him, right? Any sort of breaking story is a Woj bomb. I don't know. Good for him. I don't know. My reaction to all this is always like, obviously, from a professional standpoint, he did a great job and he was a good reporter for a really long time and certainly brought a lot to that part of the sport, I suppose. But it's like, all right, so a reporter retired. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know. I get uncomfortable. Overreacting. We do this sometimes. And I know that show does that all the time.
Right.
They'll say something and then react to something that they say. And then, I don't know, the people will go to press conferences and ask athletes about something someone said on television. Like, we've gotten very, I don't know, the gray area between reporting and actual sports and media not supposed to be a part of it. It's all very blurry.
Everybody wants to be a star, man.
I know. I don't like it.
Everybody wants to be a star.
I don't like
it. You know that.
Woj did a really good job, but I don't know. They should devote a whole segment to
the legacy of Woj. I laughed about Woj was like when he first got there and he first got going on TV. I was like, what the hell is wrong with
he
this
never
guy?
Got good on TV.
He never got good at it. He got better to me.
Yeah, he got better at it. But the reason he was famous is because he broke a lot of stories, which is good.
They're talking to you, Woj.
It is amazing to become a TV star and be so bad at TV.
Yes. He was like, oh.
That's how good of a reporter he was.
Yes, he was a man. Now they're going to throw ESPN at Shams.
Probably.
And we get a new NBA. Because you got to have somebody to break stories.
You do, but my thing is this. Like, it's not like our less story is going to break now.
What do they call it?
A Shams shot. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
A Sean statement.
I don't know what it's going to be. Whatever. But the thing is, like, that's the thing about it is, like, he did a nice job. He did a really good job. And I'm not trying to take anything away from his career because he did an amazing job.
Right.
But, like, it's just silly the way that sort of gets talked to because, like, the next story that breaks, we'll find out about it.
Yeah. We might get it for him.
It's not like there's going to be just like this mystery surrounding the NBA now that Woj isn't there to break
just
all these
don't
stories.
Bring Chris Broussard back. You know what I mean? There is no sources say.
Nah, I don't think you got to worry about that. I don't think you got to worry about Chris Broussard being the guy. Anyway, it's a hump day. There's a lot to get to, obviously, as we start turn the page from what happened Monday night with the Falcons and their great win on the road against the Eagles to Sunday.
Moving along, baby.
Who's next? Well, two-time defending Super Bowl champs are next, and Patrick Mahomes, and they're 2-0 by the skin of their teeth.
Yes.
And obviously we get to start breaking that game down and that matchup, which is awesome. Like the positive, and especially when you win Monday Night Football, of a Monday night game, and the negative of it as well, sort of the two sides of it, is when you lose a game they did against the Steelers, you have that extra day of talking about it, and
right.
the whole weekend,
right.
you got to come back Monday, you don't know what's going to happen. Now you win the game the way that you did,
mm-hmm.
and immediately you're turning the page to the
yes.
next game. So
yes.
whereas it felt like there was a year between the Steelers game and the Eagles game, it feels like there's 5 minutes between the Eagles game and the Chiefs game.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to turn the page fast, and as a player, because the day you're back at work. It's go time.
Right.
Yeah, you're putting in the bulk of your game plan today because it's still early in the season. If you're a capable body, you putting them pads back on, and we going back out there to bang shang-a-lang and get ready for the defending champions. And I think that's always the one thing you always got to do is, like, you always enjoy every visit. I mean, every win that you get, because you have to, because it's hard to get them. But when you play Monday night, especially if you win, you got Monday night and then maybe Tuesday till Tuesday afternoon, then it's time to – because the coach is back in the office working on the Chiefs when they got back, you know. And so as a player, you just got to mentally focus on that. And I'm sure all of them. I'm not saying anything that's crazy or anything. But, you know, it's always different when you have a team like this coming – a team like this with a player like they have coming into your house. I mean, it's going to be an emotional night. We know that Mr. Blank is going into the Ring of Honor and everything that night. So, you know, Chiefs fans, they travel just like everybody else. And so, and with the emotions of what happened Monday night, it's going to be a Sunday night game here in Atlanta, which is
right.
going to be a whole
right.
lot of fun.
Yep.
It's just, the atmosphere should just be bananas Saturday night with the momentum that the Falcons have after Monday night, and then who's coming into town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would hope that there would never be any issue getting up for or ready for a game in a 17-game schedule
right.
when you know there's so much on the line
right.
for every game.
Right.
But I half wonder if it's helpful to have a team that carries the gravitas and the weight that the Chiefs do coming to town after that win on Monday night against the Eagles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to refocus anyway.
Yes.
But that's a big win, and it was really exciting. And you saw the way that the team celebrated it afterwards and all of that kind of stuff. To know that Patrick Mahomes is next
mm-hmm.
would seem like it would help be like, all right, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to focus on that.
Yes.
Not that if it was the Panthers mm-hmm. or whatever that you would – hopefully you wouldn't treat it differently.
No.
But it is different
yes.
because it's
yes,
that
it
dude
is.
And it's that
yes.
team
yes.
and it's national TV.
Yes.
And you just did what you did. It was great. Like, I don't know, you saved the season, whatever, but you certainly changed the feeling. The feeling in that building on Sunday night is going to be a hell of a lot different going into this game than it would have been had Saquon Barkley caught that
meaning,
pass.
Like, as far as, like, not necessarily the players, but you're talking about the people that are going to be sitting in the seats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
like
okay.
all the people that called our show
okay.
yesterday and said
okay.
that they're believers now.
Okay, all right.
Who
I mean,
wouldn't have been had Saquon caught
yeah,
that pass.
That's why.
Although that had nothing to do with what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know exactly what you mean. That's where the point I'd be trying to get across, and why watch it then? But I think that, you know, if you're going to – when you talk about who's coming in here, and he has not played his best ball yet. He has not looked like himself. And they haven't looked like themselves really offensively. Kels.
Worst yardage game he's had.
Really?
Last game.
Yeah.
Like, 150 yards
and
passing.
Think about it, and then there's certain matchups in Cincinnati for some reason. And they do a simple three-man rush, play
yeah.
a cloud zone behind it, and make him be patient
yep.
and everything like that. But, yeah, I mean.
And he still gets
and
them.
And he still. It's always.
It's got to be so frustrating to be Cincinnati.
Because
they
penalty.
Play good.
Yeah.
Like, they play good against that team. They're a good team, obviously.
Right.
But, like, they make the like that fumble that they recover and take for a touchdown in the fourth quarter, and then the penalty and all that kind of stuff. Like, Cincinnati plays them great. And Cincinnati's a really good team. And Patrick Mahomes still, for the most part, I know they got him in the playoffs the one time, but for the most part, he's still the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Like, no matter
yeah.
who you are, he still comes
don't
and
let
gets
him,
you.
Don't let him have the ball,
It's what it is.
Yep.
It's what it is. And that's why, you know, not to venture too far down the GOAT conversation, because there's no point in doing that at this point of the season where there's actual games to talk about. But, like, that's the biggest comparison to what was with Brady and before Brady with, I don't know, Montana or whoever you want to have it like that. Like, there's only a few guys at a time, maybe only one guy at a time that you just flat out can't let have the ball last.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
him.
One of them.
He's him. He's it. right now.
In any scenario,
yeah.
Regular season game,
yeah.
Playoff game, Super Bowl, do not let him have the ball.
It doesn't matter how the game goes. It doesn't matter what their record is. It doesn't matter. Like, he's capable of getting to that level and beating you at any time. Like, they weren't good going to the playoffs last year.
No.
Remember how many bad games? They played bad games in December last year. And they went to the playoffs, and they buckled down, and they won the Super Bowl again. Just like last week, they didn't play good in that game. They probably should have lost that game.
Should have lost.
And yet, gave him a chance.
Because the thing with him, he's that type of player. He puts pressure on you as an offense. Like, hey, we got to score. Mm-hmm. Even though they think they scored 20 points last week or something like that, whatever they need to do to win. But he's that type of player that puts pressure on you because you know, even though he hasn't had it, he's still that guy.
The Ravens changed their whole, like, style of offense in a playoff game last year because Patrick Mahomes went down the field and scored a touchdown early. They panicked.
And then,
like, we're talking about coaches that have been there before.
Played into their
MVP
hands.
Quarterback. They changed, like, because that's what he does to you. So, again, hopefully, don't panic on Sunday night.
Played into their hands.
But he does it to you.
Yeah, man.
He makes you think in a way and behave in a way that most guys don't in this game. Maybe no other guy does in this game. He's coming to your house on Sunday night. Here's the flip side of it, though. You win that game on national TV on Monday night against Philadelphia the way that it went, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone here is excited. Change the way that the Falcons are being talked about a little bit nationally. Obviously, most of the discussion coming out of that game is Philadelphia related, but that's fine.
Right.
You beat Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football, mm-hmm. and you're 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very different life than had Saquon caught that ball and then whatever happened Sunday night.
Yeah.
Like, you're 2-1 with a win over Patrick Mahomes and on the road against the Eagles. That's pretty cool. That'd be a pretty cool deal.
That would be a great start to the season, man. But it's like we always say, it's not going to be easy. We know that. It's not going to be easy. But, I mean, I think right now, from just my thought process of watching that game on Monday going into this Sunday night, the Falcons can win this football game.
I do, too.
Yeah, Falcons can win this football
game. Yeah, they absolutely can win this
football game. They got to do certain things better. And they did it last week. But we're talking about, and we had the caller yesterday, they got one of them guys over there. And they got one of them guys on that defense side. And they got another young, emerging player in Karlofskis, who is a hell of a young player. So those are going to have to be the issues. Those are going to have to be the number one things you got to protect up front.
No doubt. But look, I mean, the same thing is true. I mean, I know they're 2-0 and all that. We'll talk about 2-0 teams and 0-2 teams in the NFL No Huddle top of the noon hour. They're 2-0 by the skin of their teeth.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe you make it 2-1 Sunday night.
We look at it different because he's on the team.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Like, of course.
We look at it different. They got Patrick Mahomes. I know they just barely winning, but they still got him.
Yeah, no, they do. They're always dangerous because of it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show on a hump day. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Dave Archer going to join us at 11:40 as well to talk some Falcons. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's just normal business for us when you play on Monday night, when you play these night games. I know we had not as used to them around here the last couple of years, but when you want to play in these big moments in these big time games, this is what happens. And you got to be able to turn the page pretty quickly. You got to be able to evaluate. You got to be able to assess what happened the night before. Go find out what you can get better. Do some of those type of different things and then start to look at your new opponent that's coming up this week at the Kansas City Chiefs, those guys.
Yeah, that's Raheem. Yesterday, everything, kind of like last week, everything was bumped back a day, right? Like Dukes and Bell talked to him a day later and all that. Yep. I know they'll talk to him today, but he had his media availability yesterday, talked about all kinds of different stuff. One of the things being something that we just mentioned, turn the page quick.
Yeah,
you got Chiefs coming in Sunday night. At least I guess you get a few extra hours. You don't have to play at 1 o'clock on Sunday. You play at 8 o'clock.
Right.
But yeah, man, that's part of doing business when you are considered to be a good team in the NFL. They're going to put you on prime time. They're going to put you on nationally televised games. You're going to have a slightly different schedule, and that's ultimately good. You want those games. And the Falcons got two in a row.
Yeah, and this is, you know, when it's this quick turnaround, you don't even watch the Eagles tape. Mm. You might have watched it on your own or something, but I mean, it's strictly about, you know, about the Chiefs right now. What times they've been in meetings and everything like that. But that's what it's been about all day like that. And it's, I mean, sometimes it can be a good thing. Sometimes it can be a good thing. You know what? That was fun. But hey, we got to go on to the, like you said, what's next or who's next and get ready for the next opponent. You can enjoy it for the plane ride. I'm sure the plane ride was great.
Yeah.
You can enjoy it tomorrow. I mean, yesterday as you healed up and everything like that. But yeah, it's go time to another opponent. And you cannot, you know, you can say you can ride their momentum or ride the wave for what happened Monday night to Sunday, but I think the biggest thing that you can ride is the cohesion, the more of the rust being knocked off.
Yes.
Those type of things as you continue to go forward throughout the season.
I have to feel like, I know everyone always says, like, when you lose a bad game and then you have another one quickly, it's like, well, it's the best thing because then we have less time to think about it. Seems like it would always be the best thing, unless you're like really injured or whatever. Right. You need a little bit more time to try to get better. It was like, no, I mean, whether that was a great win, that was a great, still, like, you know, think about it too much. You want to, like, throw a parade. You won one game.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
One game.
Ultimately, it was a great win, and it was Monday Night Football and the way that it went and the two-minute drill and all that stuff. But the grand scheme of things, you won one game. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. So you got to get back to work, and you got a tough task on Sunday night. So, I don't know. It feels like the best possible thing kind of no matter what, because you got to get right back focused on it. Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, man.
It's just as big of a stage. If not, honestly, it feels like Sunday Night Football might almost be a bigger stage now than Monday Night Football is. It seems sort of taken over it as far as the biggest game of the week.
Love Sunday Night Football, man. And I think, you know, as you try to get yourself ready for it, because you do get that one, you lose a day kind of sort of because you didn't play on Sunday. They think about the Jets. Like, wait, one, two, they played three games, and this will be a third game. And
right.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, and they are injured, too. Yeah, they got a lot of injuries. That's four tough, guys holding out.
That's tough right there. Yeah. But, yeah, if you could just go ahead and refocus and get ready, because that's always the word of the day up those in the facility. After you do something like you did Monday night, is we got to refocus. We got to turn the page. We have to get ready for this, because a lot of they'll say, well, nothing we did in that game last week will help us this week because it's a completely different team with completely different personnel. Sure. And so you always just got to look at it like that, man, and not even think about it, because like you said, it's just one win. It's one win, and it's the second game of the season.
I do have to think that 65 seconds will help, though. You know what I mean? That drive that they went on.
Oh, yeah.
Just in terms of confidence.
Confidence and the knocking more of the rust off, all those different things. That kind of stuff. But I'm
Kirk just kind of letting it fly a little bit.
But you always got to look at the scenario. Like, this defense line they're playing is way better than the one.
Way better.
This is going to be another game as far
secondary
as the
trenches. Secondary is probably better, too.
Oh, yeah, because they got that young boy over there, and he is. He's the next.
He's good.
He's next. Was it Murphy?
Mm-hmm.
He's next. And so, but there's still holes in this team.
McDuffie,
thank you. But yet they have the ultimate equalizer, the guy who wears 15. It is what it is with this dude, man. Battery ram running back.
Yeah, no Pacheco. Yeah, they signed Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not going to play Sunday.
No, he probably won't. But yeah, but they got P. Ryan, those guys. I think Rice is really developing into a really good player. Saw stat yesterday. He leads the league in run after. You know what Worthy is? He's a one trick pony, but that trick is fast.
Yeah, it's a really good trick.
Yeah,
I know.
That trick is fast.
There's been guys in the NFL that have made a lot of money being a one trick pony
when that trick is faster
than everybody.
And Kelsey is still great. He's not having the year he wants to have, but the one thing about him is even if you think he's covered, he's not covered.
That's the part that scares me.
Yes.
Is that Kelsey hasn't done it. Be true. Like, Kelsey needs to be a part of that offense in order for that offense to function correctly. He's got 37 receiving
yards. That could be a reason why it's not going the way it is.
Maybe.
Of him.
Maybe. Could be. Yeah. It's going to get figured out at some point. Yeah. And then you look, it's like, damn, all right. Hopefully not this Sunday.
Yeah.
Hopefully not figured out. All right. Here's Michael Harris II. He's being honest. This is true. This is a true fact. Last night, probably the right time to say it.
We had some more situations, but I guess baseball is hard. You're not gonna score runs every time you have the chance to. So we were glad to put up the runs we did early and hoping to put on more, but we didn't. So I guess we just gotta keep trying to get those runs in.
I thought it got it going. I mean, he lead off home run, then all of a sudden Matt Olson comes afterwards, a 2-run home run. And you're thinking everything is great, and then until it wasn't.
Yeah,
you're sitting there like it's 5-4, and then the first thing that goes to your mind, they're about to trick this off.
Oh, as soon as it started slipping through their fingers, because it's what's happened. Like, when they're done scoring runs, they're done scoring runs.
They don't restart it. Yeah.
The offense scored 5 runs in 4 innings. They were like, all right, that's good for today. No, still 5 innings left, guys. You're allowed to tack on. No, not us. We don't tack on. Yeah. We're not going
to
add.
You would have loved to see it get done, especially with a bullpen game yesterday.
Against the Cincinnati Reds, okay? They're 0-4 against the Reds this year. They have a losing record against the White Sox, who are the worst team in the history of the world. They have a losing record against the Nationals,
yes.
Okay? Now, again, I think a part of that is because the Braves aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a very good team. They're okay. They're not bad, but they're not very good because they're injured. They're so injured. They're so devastated from an injury standpoint as they lose games against teams like that. But, man, what a difference 72 hours makes. They beat the Dodgers the first two, and then they're up 2-0 in game 3.
And then
right?
What are they in the score?
What's well, now they've lost like 100-2 in that game. And then they lost 9-0, and then yesterday they blew a 4-run lead against Cincinnati Reds. And now they're 2 games back of the Mets in the wild card.
Yeah, so. I just, you know, it's explainable why they are where they are, you know.
Because you just look at the lineup,
exactly. And now you're in a position where you're still, it's an uphill climb. We already talked about it. Yeah, it's cool to win series, but you need to win all these damn games. The ones like yesterday, all right? Okay, you go into the matchup. Yes, you're better than the Reds, but are you?
Yeah.
Okay, you're better than the Reds. Oh, so you get up in a bullpen game, no less. You're up. You get the offense going. And then you can't rely on them just hold it down for you. And like you said, once they stop scoring their runs, it's like, okay, well, we'll rely on our pitching to get us up out of this thing.
Yeah. Jesse with I don't know. Tough set might be it for Jesse.
Yeah, man.
Pierce Johnson gets the loss. It just, you know, I don't know. Frustrating. Schwellenbach's on the mound tonight, so at least you're back into your starting pitchers. So hopefully you can get a couple and still win this series. But time's running out, man. You got 11 games left. You're 2 games back of both the Diamondbacks and the Mets. They're now tied for that second wild card spot.
Oh, so you got to jump 2 teams now.
Yeah, just got to catch one of them.
I know.
Just got one of them. Just got to stub their toe.
Then you got a series against the Mets.
You
right?
do have that
you got,
series,
you got
against,
that series
the Mets.
Against the Mets.
You still play the Mets. So as long as you keep it within 2 or 3, you control your own destiny against them.
Pretty much. Yeah, and you can just go for broke. And then, you know, we already talked about, you know, Kansas City, that could possibly be the one. If you're able to get, say you get 2 out of 3, you're down 1. Can you find a way?
Right, and you still have to handle business against the Royals.
Yeah. So.
Who aren't, they're okay, but they're not great. I guess they're a better record than the Braves, so let me not talk too much trash about the Kansas City Royals as they're competing for one of the final wild card spots of the American League as well. But, worry about the Reds tonight. Schwellenbach's on the mound. Should be a lot of fun. Atlanta United host Inter-Miami tonight.
Yes.
Sounds very much like Messi's going to play. Not sure how much. May start, play the first half. May come off the bench, play the final 30 minutes. But very likely that Lionel Messi will play tonight for Inter-Miami. Which, I don't know, it's cool if you want to watch it.
Yeah.
Probably not good if you play for Atlanta United.
Yeah, especially how they've been playing. And obviously we understand the, you know, I know it's a Wednesday game, but not often does a guy like that come into your town to play a sport or,
nope.
or a concert or something like that.
It's
that's
a big
deal. That's just how big he is and everything like that. And it's always was the thing with me is like, is he ever going to play on this artificial turf and all those other things? I know Mike was with us on Monday, said he played 90 on Saturday.
Played 90 on Saturday.
90 on Saturday.
So he won't go 90
so I don't think so I don't think he'll go 90. And Mike was under there. He just thought maybe he won't start, but looks like you say he might come in the second half. But it does seem like he is going to play while he's here. And, I mean, the atmosphere is going to be crazy. This dude is – he just has that kind of effect on people, on the sport.
Is he the biggest athlete in the world currently? I think he is, right?
I can't – I'm trying to figure out who would be.
LeBron?
I mean, him, LeBron,
Ronaldo?
CR7.
Yeah.
Who outside those three?
I don't know.
Can't think of anyone.
Spencer Schwellenbach?
I mean, Spence is up
he's
there.
Up
there.
He's up there. He's rising up
the
list.
He's rising up the list.
He's higher than he was.
Shohei Ohtani up there?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
is he up there?
Yeah, but the reality, no baseball player is. Yeah. Maybe there was a day when that was the case, but it's a soccer player, a basketball player. Yeah, Mahomes maybe? I don't know. Probably not.
Is Mahomes global?
Probably not like him.
No.
Anyway, he's going to be here tonight. But here's the thing. Atlanta United's their kryptonite. Remember? Mm-hmm. They went down there and beat him full squad. Beat him. In their house earlier this season.
There was a lot of other players that were on that team with Atlanta, right?
There was a different roster. It was a different roster. But that team sucked, too. Like, that version of Atlanta United also sucked. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like when they had Almada and all those other guys, they were like some great juggernaut.
That is
true. Team also sucked and went to Miami and beat them. This team isn't good, and maybe they can beat them at home. So, you never know.
The home crowd's going to be with Atlanta. We know that.
Do we?
Why wouldn't it be?
Because Messi plays for the other team.
So?
I don't think it's like it was, man. I don't think it's like it was.
Damn.
Yeah, man. I think there's a whole pandemic that happened since that was like that in there. I don't know. People are still fired up and all that, but it'll be full. But there's going to be some purple in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't.
Pink. My bad. Pink.
Pink or a lot of Argentine jerseys.
They wear they got flamingos on their jerseys, or as Lily calls them, fingalos.
Love it. they still hanging with that old pink idea.
Yeah. All right. It's Miami. It's a lot of pink down there, right?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah, not really.
But the Heat have the pink on their jerseys.
And it's ragged as hell.
Oh, I like the Miami Vice pink jerseys.
I hate the Miami Vice jerseys.
Why?
Because they're ugly as hell.
I like them.
No, go with the old school Alonzo Mourning, black with the red Heat across the chest.
I know, but that's what they have.
That's the only one they need to wear.
They have the black.
They that's the only one they need to wear, home and away.
I know, but you have to have a city edition
home
jersey.
Home and away.
They need the city edition jersey.
There's not one team has good city edition jersey. They're all
I think
ugly.
Some of them are okay.
They're all
I think
ugly.
The ones, I think the Milwaukee Bucks ones that said Cream City.
Ugly.
Those were pretty good.
Hawks ones, ugly.
No, the MLK ones, those were great.
Okay, that's different. What's the other one
Why?
They wear? Don't they wear another one?
Well, yeah, the last couple ones have been on.
Yeah, yeah, I love the MLK one. That's fine. What's the other ones they wear?
I saw a sneak preview of the new ones. I don't know if it's real or not, but they kind of look like the remember the Cavs jerseys, the Sean Kemp Cavs
with
like the blue thing.
Ooh no!
You kind of look a little bit like that.
Where do you get the blue from?
You know, I mean, it's history. Was that convincing?
Not at all. Like,
they had a blue jersey back in the day. The Maravich one. It was like green and blue.
Oh,
I don't know why, but it was.
All right.
The latest Hawks City Connect jerseys are blue.
Yeah. Yeah. And white, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of look like the old Cavs jerseys.
Okay. Well,
the peach ones I thought were pretty cool.
You talk about the ones when they played in the Gund Arena?
Yeah. The Sean Kemp.
Oh, my God.
The Sean Kemp Cavs.
Was there a worse jersey than that? Like, I'm talking about like a base jersey, not like a throwback or seat edition.
Mm.
Was there anything worse than those Cleveland Cavalier era in basketball?
It's a great question. I mean, I did think the Browns jerseys in general
are basketball.
Awful. In basketball.
Yeah. Has there been one?
I'm racking my brain.
I mean, even the court was ragged.
Everything was bad about it. I mean, I don't know. People have a nostalgia for the Toronto Raptor, but I think that was bad. Like the original cartoon Raptor, I think that was crap. My opinion.
Okay.
I don't know. Am I bold enough to say it? The Mutombo Hawk?
Oh, that was awful, too.
It wasn't
that
good.
That was awful.
We have a nostalgia for it, but it was... Now, the Grizzlies was cool.
I didn't like that one.
That one was okay. I don't know. We just all, like, everyone our age has a huge nostalgia for the 90s, so anything that happened in the 90s, we were like, that was cool.
Yeah.
It really wasn't.
It wasn't.
Everything was turquoise and purple.
And that was not good.
There's a reason why nothing's turquoise and purple anymore.
Well, I mean, I like the Hornets,
bad combo.
The Hornets turquoise.
That was the only one.
Yeah, that was the only one.
And the Jordans, the Jordan 8s that were turquoise and purple were pretty cool. With the straps, you know?
Oh, I got to look those up.
You know what I'm talking about. I loved those. I loved those shoes. Someday I'm going to buy them. I get the money. Next contract. All right, we'll come back. Dave Archer's going to join us. We'll talk some Falcons with Arch after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, yeah, don't move. I know.
Can't.
You can't look back, man.
Why would you?
Well, yeah.
That's why the windshield's so much bigger than the rearview mirror. You're supposed to look forward. Okay?
Did you just come up with that?
No. Brent, I stole that from Brent Key.
Okay.
Brent Key said that a whole bunch of times in the week after they beat Florida State.
He damn sure did.
But I love it. I love football coach stuff like that. Yeah, we don't look back. Why? We don't live in the past. You got to look forward. That's why the windshield's so much bigger than the rearview mirror. That's one reason. That's one. I don't think that's the only, but whatever. We're looking forward. Dave Archer joins us on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy to talk some Falcons, as he always does on Wednesdays. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Andy, is that written on like a poster somewhere? That's why the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror. That's pretty prophetic, man. I never put it into words like that. That's something. I'm going to have to deep think on that. That's pretty good.
I am a sucker for football coach isms like that, because they really are applicable to other stuff too. But yeah, no, Brent Key kept saying that after they beat Florida State, because it's all about, which is very appropriate, I feel like, right now for the Falcons. Great win Monday night, great drive late, and now they got Patrick Mahomes coming to town. But we'll talk about Monday night first. One thing I want to know from you, Dave, is I heard Matt Ryan say it, I've heard other folks say it, quarterbacks talking about how the two-minute drill can be easier for a guy who's new to an offense and new to a team. Why is that?
Well, it's, first of all, the other side of the ball gets simpler because you get them locked in a certain situation. You may get them locked in specific coverages, maybe a little bit more, vanilla coverages, if you will. So you get them, and so you don't get the exotic stuff that you might get down. And then you pare down what you're calling. You're not going to go to a bevy of plays that maybe you've put in just that week. You've gone to a base set of plays that you've repped many, many times, probably in training camp and maybe even during your career while you're with that team. So I think those things, it just simplifies down to where now you become second nature. You're not having to think through some of the reads. You get the ball out quickly. You're taking what they're giving you. It's just all those things combined make it probably a simpler situation.
Dave, when you were calling the game, what did you see? What was more the reason for the success? Was it the defense? Was it the offense? Or did Kurt look like he was more comfortable?
Well, they got him. I think that you had to bet on the fact, Randy, that he was going to be better in this game. Because, I mean, let's face it, as much as you want to talk about, you know, we wanted him getting healthy and they got him healthy to the regular season, he was going to be rusty getting in the game. Games are different. Yep. I mean, we can talk all we want to about trying to assimilate practice to a game and all those kind of things. And we talked a little bit about this last week going into this game, that you, things are last longer. There's adrenaline flowing. There's so many other factors that factor into a game situation that you can't simulate in practice. So he had to get those reps. He got those reps last week against Pittsburgh. He struggled some. He made some plays, but he was rusty. I thought that he came out and he was a much better player in this game. I thought that there was a better game plan. I think Zach was better in what he called, what he surrounded him with, the way he got guys involved. And that'll continue to grow. I think that if you heard my conversation with Kirk after the game, he was disappointed that he didn't get more guys involved, that he didn't get the football to guys maybe on the move. He had that deep in cut to Drake London on the move. He gets Drake on the move. I don't know where Drake stops. I mean, he had to slide to catch the football. He threw a ball behind Bijan Robinson, and there's nobody in the flat with Bijan Robinson. He may still be running right now. So there's some plays that he left on the table. He missed Kyle Pitts in the end zone. He threw a ball away. Kyle's coming wide open on a delay route inside. So those are all things that he's going to improve on this week that he didn't do last week.
Yeah, that is what I was going to pick your brain about, is if you talk about what he did better week two versus week one, and he makes that type of jump from week two to week three, what are the specifics that you expect to see from Kirk Cousins on Sunday night?
Well, again, Andy, you've got to have guys around you that are playing. I thought the offensive line played at a much higher level in this game than they did against Pittsburgh. I thought that they were rusty and they didn't play as cohesive as they needed to. They were much better in the Eagle game. You got the run game cranked up. Bijan Robinson hit a different gear in this game. I think you could see it. He's on the verge of breaking a few. Even Tyler Algier looked like he got a few more opportunities to touch the football. So everybody stepped it up. And that's what has to happen. I mean, we can point to the quarterback, and he's the beacon that everybody wants to look to as to whether we're playing well or not. But it has a lot to do with the guys around you and what's going on and how well you're carrying out, you know, play action. Is the offensive line showing run action? So we get the pull from that second level of defenders to step up. So now Kirk has a window to throw the ball in behind those linebackers. But it's counting on the offensive line to show run action so it doesn't look like a pass play. So they sell it and they buy it. It's just all of that combined makes you a better offense.
Hey, Dave, did something happen to Justin Simmons? Because we were talking about it yesterday. I saw Richie, and Richie was fine while he was in there, but was it something that got dinged, or is it maybe a game plan-specific type of substitution?
I think they're trying to, you know, they want to get Richie in the game some, Randy. He was in the game. In fact, he's the guy that's got coverage on Saquon Barkley on that last play. He got sucked in. The first time they ran the play, that ended up in a touchdown or just short of the goal line. I thought he was in, but they called him just short of the goal line on the first time they ran it. Jesse Bates had him in coverage, and Jesse got pulled in by play action or by the run action, and then Justin got fooled on it too. So he was in the game late. I just think that it's a matter of getting and making sure Grant stays up to play, and Grant makes a huge play. Mm-hmm. The play he makes in the back corner of the end zone is a big-time play.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Falcons, obviously reacting to the win on Monday night against the Eagles, turning the page to Sunday night against the Chiefs as well. And look, the Chiefs are 2-0. Both very tight games, close games, came down to the finish, but they're 2-0. What have you seen from them so far that obviously Falcons fans will be looking for on Sunday night?
Well, they're searching for themselves offensively a little bit. It's interesting that this team in Kansas City. You know, I know a lot of people are talking, well, you know, Patrick had his worst game statistically last week as far as yards go. And if you go back to last year, he didn't have a great year last year. I think he threw 15 interceptions last year. It was one of the lower numbers as far as total yards go, passing yards. So there's a little bit of a trend going on with them offensively. Some of it has to do with the people around him and trying to get guys comfortable. Rashee Rice, I know you guys talked a little bit about him getting Worthy up to speed. Now Pacheco's out with the broken leg. He's going to be out for a while. They signed Kareem Hunt, who knows the offense, but Samaje Perine is going to have to play. Keontae Ingram is on their practice roster. Who's going to run the football for him? Then you mentioned Kelce has not been a factor so far early on in the game. So I think that there's a little bit of wanting going on in Kansas City because of how good they've been offensively. But make no mistake, their bread's buttered on the defensive side of the ball. They're playing really good on defense. They did a really good job last weekend against a good offense in Cincinnati. They can rush the passer with Karlaftis and Jones. They can play in that second level with Chanel and Bolden, the linebackers. And then McDuffie and Reed are really good in the back end. So they're really good on all three levels. I would say as much as Patrick's the guy late in a football game, this is a defensive football team.
What do you think as far as, because we know in the first game, I mean, it was just a one-man wrecking crew with Watt. And, I mean, Chris Jones is one of those guys. But you were talking about Karlaftis. What do you think the priority probably in protection should be? Because Chris Jones can play up and down that line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up lining up. I think that I'm interested to see what they do from a blitzing linebacker standpoint. I thought Atlanta really did a good job. And watching the tape against Philly, Philadelphia was blitzing N'Kobe Dean and the other linebacker. I'm forgetting
Bond.
His name now.
Is that Bond?
Bond. Yeah, Bond had 15 sacks. Thanks, Andy. They had 15 tackles and 2 sacks in that first game. He really wasn't a factor in the game as far as getting after the passer. Now, he made a couple plays in the flat in the passing game, but they blitzed them a lot down in the red zone. They didn't do that as much against Atlanta. Atlanta did a pretty good job picking stuff up. In fact, the touchdown that Kirk throws to Mooney is a zero blitz. They go zero in the back end. They come with a run blitz. Bijan Robinson steps up and takes up Bond on the blitz and gives gives Cousin a chance to cut it loose to Mooney for the touchdown. So they kind of backed out of some of that stuff. I'll be interested to see if Chanel and Bolden come on some of those dogs and blitzes, but I don't know that they're going to have a particular plan for Karloftis. Probably will chip him like they did the other guys against Philly. Jones is certainly a guy you need to find, no question, Randy. You're going to have to find him and try to get two bodies on him if you can.
I'm interested to get your thought. I know we've talked about this over the last couple of years, but it really showed up on Monday night. The criticism of the Eagles coaching staff for either not taking points or kicking or whatever. I mean, Raheem took points three different times. They could have gone for it, especially twice inside the red zone. They took the points. That's 9 points they got that maybe another coach would have analytically gone for it. He got those points. They end up winning by one. Where do you stand on this conversation about going for it and taking points and the way that the game sort of seems to be evolving in that way?
I think you gotta continue, Andy, to have – the reason you're a coach in this league or a head coach in this league is because you've got a feel for the game. And so the ones that last are guys like Andy Reid, who we're going to see this weekend, and some of the great coaches that have been in the league for a long time, and some that change over a number of times. You got to have a feel for the game. I think that you're going to want to use some of the analytics. I think some of that has to come into play because of how much they're breaking the game down. But at some point, you've got to trust your gut. You got to trust the players. You know the players. There's no analytics on how your players are playing at that particular moment. So I think you have to be able to trust that. And Raheem seems to have a pretty good feel right now for his guys. And maybe Sirianni, because he keeps changing coaches, maybe there's not a good feel for what potentially is coming. I don't know.
That's a good point. We appreciate it, Arch. Great stuff, as always.
Great to be with you guys. Y'all take care.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons radio network analyst, former Falcons quarterback. And again, that's just something kind of coming out of that game, Randy, where it's like there's so much conversation about, well, the stats said he should have gone for it here. Raheem kicked it three times.
Yep. And like
all three times they got the points. They won the game by 1 point.
I wonder what it feels like. Because, I mean, when you're an offensive-minded coach like Nick Sirianni is, right, and you got an offensive coordinator that they brought in. Mm-hmm. You can say whatever you want to. They like, Harris, hire this guy.
Yeah, the owner said hire this guy. Or
what
the
is
GM
it like
or
when
whatever.
You're like going through, because they kind of asked him a question. He's like, well, Kellen's the offensive coordinator. He called that play. But you know what I mean? Like, as being a head coach, and you're sitting there and let this man call plays like that. Now, if Saquon Barkley, you can take fourth down with it. Saquon had got to catch the football.
It's a good play
it's
call.
It's a good play
he
call.
He was open, and it was thrown well.
Yeah.
Like, but that's not on anybody but him.
Yeah, he got to catch the ball. But that's why I was curious, like, when you're an offensive head coach, now defensive head coach, whatever, but an offensive head coach who has a coordinator that you really didn't want calling plays.
I bet it sucks.
It sucks.
I bet it sucks so
I wouldn't
much.
Call that.
Yeah, right. Because you can't say that, obviously, but you want to.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we probably should have run it.
And then you've been a head coach. You've been a head coach vetoing his calls.
Right. Which you can, but then it's also week two. And like, you're just going to ruin the relationship. I know. Yeah, that's why they're in such a tough spot, man. That's why everybody in Philadelphia is freaking out. Happy to help. All right, this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Come back, we'll get to an NFL no huddle. Tons of news over the last 24 hours in the league. We'll start looking ahead to week three as well. Good game on Thursday Night Football. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.